Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Welcome to episode 7 of Montessori Babies. In this episode, I have the pleasure of interviewing a wonderful Montessorian named Stacy D. Stacy recently had her second baby and was kind enough to share her experience journeying through Montessori within the first 3 months after birth. This conversation was beautifully raw and celebrates the uniqueness of each parent's journey with their child within the first 3 months of life. I am so excited to be sharing this with you. Let's get into it. So this week, we have a very exciting interview and conversation with someone who is a very, very good friend of mine. At one point, you know, we even called ourselves teacher wives for a while because we had classrooms next to each other. And she's just a wonderful Montessorian mother advocate for, you know, the earliest first 3 years of life. So welcome. I have Stacy with me today.
Hi, Bianca. Thank you for having me.
And so you're a Montessori mama of two, and you have over a decade of experience in this field and place a lot of emphasis on the first 3 years of life. I know that you just went through the first 3 months with a new baby that you have, your sweet baby boy. So I just thought we could talk about how everything's going and talk about Montessori within that.
Absolutely. Yeah, this has been quite the journey with my new little man. And selfishly, I wanted to just have another baby after I took the training in order to implement the fundamentals that I did learn that were just beautiful and amazing. And I think work and are so honoring to the child and the spirit of the infant and also to breastfeed, oddly enough. I really wanted to do that again and be successful with it. And so here I am at 5 months doing those things. And it's been really like soul rewarding and awesome. Yeah.
That's so cool. I love that, you know, having that perspective from the Montessori pedagogy and the ideas and stuff help guide, you know, journeys. And how do you feel like Montessori has guided your journey?
You know, there's definitely a portion of the training that talks about the spiritual preparation of the adult and how to give yourself grace and how to take time for yourself and to reflect and observe your own self and what you do and how it affects, you know, the child and your environment. And I think knowing those things has been really beneficial in how I interact with Jude and how I've progressed past these first 3 months of life and, you know, the fourth trimester, if you will, and helped me to adapt to, you know, the new norm and accept what is in the moment and that in his time and place. And I think that those things, having those, the knowledge of how to do that, now, as opposed to, you know, 12 years ago with Sienna, much different experience, right? It's more calm. I'm more self-assured and I feel like I'm able to take it as it comes, you know, with grace and in stride, as opposed to like depressed or stressed or anxious, like I once was before. And that could just come with 10 years of child experience. Obviously being older, having maybe more emotional maturity, also exhausted, but you know, I think a lot of those things come into play too. And it's so interesting too, because, you know, they say every child is different. You know, you can't teach the same thing to one child with and get the same result, you know, and it's so very true, like with children, with siblings, and like, I think genetics and, you know, And that's why Montessori, I think, is so amazing still, because it honors the child, who they are as people, mm-hmm. not what society has created for them.
Totally.
So,
yeah, when kind of like you were mentioning, some of the feedback that I've gotten is that the emphasis on all parts, you know, like the prepared environment, prepared adult, like the, and all of the pieces within that, that she just kind of has laid out are really helpful in the transitioning into that phase, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned the prepared environment, and I was so eager and so excited to prepare mm-hmm. Jude's space. You know, we have this humble little space for him, but it, like, everything is beautiful, and I was able to select the baskets that I wanted and the materials that I wanted because I've worked with them and I know what I like and I know mm-hmm. what's successful for children. Mm-hmm. And just seeing him use it and be in it and master grasping, you know, and mm-hmm. rolling around in it, it's like a source of pride. Like I take a lot of pride in it, and I take a lot of value in like the space and the environment for him, because I know he's going to be that much stronger, mm-hmm. you know, in himself and in his development because of it. And I love it. It just makes me happy.
You were mentioning the spiritual preparation for the adult. I know in a previous conversation that we had, you were talking about breath work and how that's helped, you know, kind of guide your journey into his first 3 months of life and all of that. Is that something you could talk a little bit about?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back to January of 2020, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in this, oh, you're pregnant. I'm finding out this is cool. And then I get engaged a month later and I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, this is really a great year. Mm-hmm. And then March rolls around and the entire world shuts down. And I'm like, okay, so this just got real weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that in order for me to cope in a healthy way, I was seeking avenues to help myself become calm and well-centered, because the infant inadvertently experiences your emotion and experiences mm-hmm. Your anxiety. And I know that now, that I didn't want him to have that type of a spirit. I didn't want that to affect his spirit when I'm going through.
Right.
Because, you know, he didn't choose it, right? Mm-hmm. So I switched my focus into more of like meditative things. Prayer, obviously did a lot of praying because I'm a woman of faith. Mm-hmm. And I did seek, though, like breath work pretty consistently. And I think it really put me in a different, I really think it changed my brain in a way to be able to self-soothe my own self, to be able to check myself when I'm starting to get into this sort of anxious cycle, and to turn it around, mm-hmm. you know, and to really work through the oxygen and to work through my connection with Mother Earth, if you will, mm-hmm. and my own self. Mm-hmm. And it was really liberating and really, it was really deep. You know, you go through things and I had some pretty cool magical experiences with it. So I think that it really helped shape and keep my pregnancy calm in this weird life we're currently still living in this pandemic, if you will.
Yeah.
So, and he's a really mellow guy, you know, he came out just real super mellow. His personality and temperament is easygoing. He is jolly and happy. He smiled very early, in my opinion, you know, and he's a good self-assured little guy. So it just was like, what about that? Like that I worked on myself, and I worked on, you know, giving myself grace and being patient, a lot of stretching, like yoga poses to help with digestion and indigestion and stuff. I think a lot of that too, being in tune with my own body and having the opportunity to, so being furloughed, you know, for the pregnancy and having virtually nothing to do besides homeschool my 12-year-old, which was exciting in itself. You know, I think doing the breath work and the prayer and just focusing on healthy eating and cooking my own food, right? Because we're not going to the restaurants and we're not doing all of that. So we're forced to cook well and eat well, because that's all you're really doing. So I think he was at a big advantage. So then my furlough rolled right into maternity leave. And I virtually have been off for an entire year of work. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty, I feel like it was pretty lucky. Like I can take my COVID experience and be like, man, that was kind of a gift for this pregnancy, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
I didn't have the stressors. Definitely. I mean, I definitely have a pandemic stressor of like, don't get sick, you know, stay healthy, wash your hands. But like also the downtime, I had extreme downtime and connecting time with my older one. So it was neat.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing that the timing and just kind of, you know, taking that perspective of like, what can I do within this time and space, you know, to best prepare myself, best prepare my environment, you know, and continue to evolve, learn and grow within, you know, my home without going anywhere.
For sure. And like, I think the research too, you do, like, there's all, you know, there's Pinterest out there. There's like amazing people to follow on Instagram that can guide you and give you advice and stuff. And I think all of that's super helpful. And the stuff that I took, like the certain stretches, the certain yoga poses that helped with heartburn were vital. Taking the extra omega-3 in the third trimester, I think really was helped combat baby blues.
That's great.
I feel fortunate for that, you know. And but I think also too, you can do all this research and you can do all this preparation of what you could do or what could happen, but really when push comes to pushing a baby out, right? You have to do what's best for you and what's innate for you in those first 3 weeks or 4 weeks after the baby comes, you know.
Right.
And what's gonna work best for you in your healing process and in your attachment with your child.
So speaking of like that transition into life, right? Transition into their new world. I know you had mentioned, you know, when we were talking about the importance of self-care and, you know, the moment throughout the day that you looked forward to, or that is your one time of giving yourself like the grace to just be with yourself. Can you talk a little bit about that? That's something I mean, I found
absolutely.
Really interesting.
I think that when you're pregnant and you're like in this, I'm so excited and you're really taking good care of yourself. And I took extreme good care of myself and really in tune through my whole pregnancy. And then, you know, once the baby comes, you have to understand that you do away with all of that. You do away with all of your self-care. You know, you're not slapping on the lotion on your belly anymore for 5 minutes. You know, you're not laying on the ground, getting your edema out of your legs, you know, and you're swelling. You're on and you are going and you are dedicated in your symbiosis to your baby, you know, and I think that's innate too. Your needs go to the wayside and your own self is like dedicated, you know, to this new life that you created and you're just loving it and you're so blissful and you're also so tired. And I think that taking that shower, the shower that you need every day is the only time you're going to have me time for a while. And I think you have to accept that as a parent. Like, I have to accept the fact that I'm going to lose a lot of sleep. I have to accept the fact that I'm going to be potentially drudged in breast milk and I might not get that shower till 9 p.m., you know? But I feel like that was the only time that I had to myself. And I took that time to myself in a way that I'm like, I'm going to stand in the shower. I'm going to put the heat on my shoulders while I'm feeling sore. I'm going to lather slowly, take a lot of breathing in that moment, like doing the breath work and doing focus, shut your eyes and really focus on taking in good air and like the steam and cleansing yourself. And like, I think sometimes when you're in the shower, you're listening for the baby, right? You're waiting to hear the baby cry, and that might give you like the early exit, but take the long shower, you know? It's important because that's really the only time you're going to get away from your husband or a significant other, your mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. And that's it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
So I think to tell a mom, hey, you know, accept the fact that your self-care will be the shower only. It might not be your three-step wrinkle-free regimen, you know, daily. That's just so important.
I love that you say it like that too, because I mean, it ties right into, you know, Montessori principle, where it's like within what you have, you can still take the tiniest little moment to prepare yourself, to take care of yourself. And it's, I mean, really important for your entire preparation, you know?
You know, in the hospital, they really push swaddling. They swaddled the baby for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were trying to master swaddling once we left after day three, and it was like not happening, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I knew how important skin to skin was and bonding, and daddy was really super into it. I mean, mm-hmm. he got to do it right away. Mm-hmm. Because I had the cesarean section. So he was the one who spent the first 45 minutes with him. Mm-hmm. And, it was so cute coming around the corner on the gurney with him just on his daddy. And I was just so amazed and like in love with that moment. And so what we kind of did was like just held him. We let him sleep on us for about 2 weeks. Like at night we would put him in a sleep sack and put him in the, you know, grass woven African bassinet that we mm-hmm. purchased. The Sistina.
Yeah.
And he slept well there. It was nice. But I think it's because all day long his naps were on our bodies, mm-hmm. unswaddled, skin mm-hmm. to skin, you know, if we could. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. It was like Jesse and I took organic turns naturally, and you know, his role was to make sure I was nourished and watered so I could mm-hmm. make breast milk. And then once he met my needs, he was able to hold Jude and bond with him in it like a really special way. Like it was almost 50-50 in a way, because he had the time off, and mm-hmm. you know, we just did that for the first 2 weeks. I think that in itself helped us not have to swaddle him. I think parents might feel like they have to swaddle their children because, you know, they're whapping themselves in the head, or they might scratch their face or something like that. But
yeah,
you know, with him on our chest, like almost tummy time, but on our chest, he didn't startle. So that was like really, really cool.
Yeah,
so those
awesome.
Were the first 2 weeks. You know, week three, they become more aware. Week four, they become more aware, and the symbiosis changes a bit, and you might have family visiting by that time, or mom comes to help or something like that. Mm-hmm. Grandma, you know, and things change a little when you start, dad has to go back to work or something like that. But I think that attachment, you know, at that time was so pure because he had both his parents participating, you know.
It's amazing. That's really, really cool. The whole idea of him working through the startle on you guys.
That was really cool.
Primary attachments. And yeah, that's really, really awesome. So this is, for everyone listening, this is a really special conversation for me. One I'm very excited to share with you guys, because Stacy and I shared a really beautiful, organic, cohesive infant environment for a lot of years. And so we had a classroom in an AMI Montessori school. Technically, there were two separate classrooms, but we had this little doorway that we would just leave open and let our children free flow, you know, more gross motor opportunities, more opportunities to explore various materials on the shelves, that kind of thing. And it was just such a fun time in my life and one that I will forever be grateful for, because I feel like, you know, having had Stacy there, we were really able to, I was able to learn from her expertise and experience. And then we were really able to just work together in this really beautiful way. And so I was able to observe her, you know, just be a rock star teacher and work with parents and all of that. And so one thing I want to ask you, Stacy, is just what you did, what materials you used, you know, what you would recommend for some, you know, really basic stuff. Because I know there's a lot out there. There's a lot of, you know, suggestions of, you know, buy this or set this up this way or that kind of thing. But I know you're so big on giving yourself the grace to just implement it as you can with what you have. And so, yeah, what would you suggest?
Well, I have to say, you know, as far as you talking about our teacher wife experience, you know, you brought so much nuance and like joy and motivation in a time where I might have just kind of taken like a dip in my motivation as a teacher. Mm-hmm. So with you going through training also, and like, you know, your early childhood background that you were bringing into this space too, we were able to like, I think, really inspire the creative part. You know, you inspired the creative part, the musicality, and the kind of like, let's try this, you know, and observe it. You know, we were really like, I think, innovative in that, you know, bringing new ideas in and just like seeing if it worked or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part was really important, really fun, and giving it time too, to be able to see if it worked or not. And totally. laughing when it didn't, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, respecting each other when it was like, you know, maybe different or having differences.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so, I think it's just a moment I won't ever be able to recreate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you want to see something on the podcast? But like something I will never forget, you know.
Yeah,
it'd be something I never forget. It was just, I think, amazing. It was
a blissful time.
So okay, so material and stuff. I definitely have a shelf and a rug. I was so overly eager for him to start grasping, you know, like I wanted to skip mobiles altogether and have him start grasping.
I know you love your grasping materials.
But he, you know, he loved his black and white mobile for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't so drawn to the octahedron, not going to lie, wasn't attractive. The dancers are magical.
Always.
Dancers are magical. I didn't use the Gobi because I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know friends who've used the Gobi and they say that the child likes it a lot.
That's awesome.
He loves the Takani ball and I hung it for kicking.
Awesome.
We did the bell for like a week and it was cool, but I felt like it was kind of small.
Mm.
So wait, I put the Takani ball on and I added the bell and that ended up being really super fun and exciting for a while. That kept his attention for a while. That's so I think so cool. That one's hanging the Takani with the bell is really cool. And then,
he's so cute.
And then we used the O ball a lot, the plastic O ball.
Nice. That's
and the
one.
Squish in the very beginning.
Plastic.
I'll have you know though, instead of the bumpy teether ball, he has the moon jack right now,
okay.
Which is like this silicone cross like looking thing. And it's been really cool. It's like a clear silicone toy. It's about $15. I think you can get it on Amazon or Target.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves it.
Amazing.
Like it's easier for them to hold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for them to chew on and teeth on. So he that's his like go-to teether instead of the bumpy. Because the bumpy teether ball is still kind of hard for him to hold. He likes to grab hold of towels and chew on towels. So I let him do that. He likes to hold his burp rags. he does that a lot. He does a lot of kicking. That's cool. You know, the first rattle I gave him too was the Latin woven plastic rattle, the really colorful one with the ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super inexpensive, but makes just the most brilliant chime. And he really understood how to tip his wrist side to side. pretty quickly from that rattle. I feel like that was a good first rattle to give.
That's a really now, cool one. I loved that rattle.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think, you know, you definitely have to observe them using it, and it's a delicate rattle. It would be one for an older chug because they'll just trash it, but
yeah,
it's a good one.
Which we've seen.
Yeah, for sure. And he has the silicone ring with wood on it. So it has wooden rings and a silicone beaded ring. And he really likes that ring, the silicone ring with the wood ring attached. He'll chew on the wood ring and he will grasp with the silicone and kind of with both hands and shove it way in there. And so that one's been a really good teething tool and grasping tool too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny, the beads on a string, what is it called? The beads on a rope.
Mm-hmm. With the ties?
Yeah. He didn't really take to that one as much for grasping. And I love that rainbow Habba rattle.
Yeah.
Or the Habba ring, but he hasn't really spent a lot of time with that one either. But I love that one.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think the silicone won with him over that wooden, Habba rattle. But
I feel like on that topic, there are kind of like we were saying, like there's a lot of recommendations and suggestions out there for Montessori materials to, you know, optimize various areas of development, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, even within the material suggestions, the material lists, there are going to be preferences that your child has. And I think just whatever you have, you know, you can implement Montessori along the way.
Yeah. You only really need probably like 2, maybe 3 max, like grasping, cool grasping things. You don't need, I of course have way too many. And it's ridiculous.
But you've collected and you know what you like.
Oh my gosh, his rattle basket is outrageous. It's more so for me than him, but yeah, you're right. I've had all these, you know, for years though, and I put a lot of that on my registry actually. You know, a Montessori registry I think would be really cool for parents, as opposed to just like the Amazon suggested registry.
Right.
Nothing against it, but it just has a lot of things on there that aren't good for the baby.
Yeah.
And they recommend it for you. You know.
Yeah. Well, what's cool too about Montessori is it really takes that, you know, almost minimalist approach, you know, because it just follows that natural progression and has little tiny pieces to optimize, you know, the next step. So
him being so eager to have him grasp, you know, I needed to slow down and really let him get through his mobile first.
Yeah.
And not like force the grasping. Mm-hmm. But that moment where you slowly hold it over their head and they look at it with wonderment and they're so fixed on it, and you just watch the hands go for it. And it's all so slow. It's like in slow motion. But when he took it the first time and like brought it down and to his body and his face and stuff, I was just like, yes. I like celebrated so hard inside myself, because I'm like, the hand is the instrument of the mind and you are using it. It's so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I like really geeked out on that part.
Yeah.
And it came earlier than 3 months. It was like 2.5 because I was just so eager.
That's amazing. Do you have any other, you know, tips, tricks, advice, Montessori suggestions, that kind of thing for those first few months?
I mean, I think just taking time, just take your time. Don't rush through it. Don't rush yourself. Don't rush your baby. And I think, you know, your innate anxiety and your want to give the best care and to provide a calm and soothing environment, you know, is also very important. But just make sure that you're going slow and like observing, really like observing yourself and how you're speaking and how you're interacting with your family, and also just like moving slow with the baby picking mm-hmm. him up slowly, mm-hmm. talking to them in whole slow language, you know, with your mother's ease, your innate mother ease, you know, you know, teaching parent and child classes, I'm always like, you know, use whole language and this is how you do it and mm-hmm. make sure it's effective during diaper changes. And I have to tell you, as a parent, you're changing diapers a lot. Mm-hmm. So it's like sounds repetitive and obnoxious almost. And like you're going through the motions when you keep consistently saying the same things over again, I think. And sometimes you're just like so in your own thoughts and in your own self that you're quiet mm-hmm. when you're doing the handling of the body and you're not noticing it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, you're just like, there have been times where I've been like thinking about other things and he's looking at me and I'm like looking down at him and, you know, I've got his onesie up already and his diaper off and I've said nothing to him. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm like, oh yeah, let's circle back here and I'm going to put a fresh diaper on you now, you know? So it's like, you definitely have these moments where you have to check yourself, I guess, you know, as yeah. far as what you're doing. Sure. But, and being self-aware when you're exhausted and hungry and needing a shower is not an easy task.
Do you feel like observation has helped you in this transition or?
Oh my gosh, so much. Like it's a theme that I talk about with like all of my, you know, cohorts and confidants and just people, like just, it's so important to just, you have to be able to see observation though. You have to be able to know observation and like how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to just, when you give it time, when you make it a priority, it just brings forth so much more success in yourself and in your child, mm-hmm. you know, just really watching every movement the child makes, every knee bend, every finger curl, you know, mm-hmm. how they turn their head, how they move their eyes. Are they moving in opposition? You know, mm-hmm. are they whining or are they just complaining or do they have a tummy ache? You know, mm-hmm. it's like just different things. Like it just helps you become just so much more in tune with the baby.
First, thank you so much for coming on to this podcast today, for being a guest. I know I'll have you on again because, you know, we can have endless conversations within this world. I'm just so excited for you. I'm so excited, you know, that you have another sweet bundle of literal joy. You know, we've had him as a guest 2.0 on this podcast, I'm sure you've heard. Yeah. He's so cute. I've gotten to see his smiles on camera over here and he's just a sweetie. So I'm so happy for you and I'm so excited to finally meet him in person. I know this time is not ideal.
You know, finally seeing your face has been so amazing for me and warming my heart. I needed it. So it's my true honor and pleasure to be talking with you and it feels like home, yeah, you know,
feels so nice.
And I love to share, like I love to impart what I've just experienced and used and recommended from the training. And I'm sure I missed out on some stuff, but I think that I feel like it's been just such an advantage in who I am as a person and who I am as a mom and to be able to just be vulnerable with you guys and talk about giving yourself grace. And be realistic with, you know, what you're feeling and what you're going through.
Well, I'm really, really grateful for this conversation and for you. This is Stacey D. She's a Montessori mama and a rock star and an amazing friend. And so we'll have her back on again soon. And yeah, thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Stacey, for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I can't wait to just talk all things babies and development again.
Yay! Hey, it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of Montessori Babies.
If you'd like to support your baby's earliest and most important years the Montessori way, I have a totally free masterclass that teaches the 6 essential steps to begin Montessori with your baby that gives you the exact, seldomly spoken about steps that I created after over a decade working with Montessori babies, families, and caregivers. You can register via the link in our show notes or in my bio on Instagram at babytourguide. Also, if you're enjoying my podcast, I would absolutely love if you'd leave a review to help other parents and caregivers find and join our community. Thanks again for listening to Montessori Babies, and I'll catch you in our next episode. Bye!